Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, a place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is from the series, The Four Dimensions of Prayer.
Word. That's a little bit better. Amen. LJ, you good? You got the word? You got the word? I'm talking to you, LJ. Don't look at your mama. You got the word? You got the word? You need a minute? My mama got the word for me. Leave me alone, Pastor. Y'all ought to see the way he's looking at me. Amen. Isaiah 54. You'd be amazed what your pastor can see. Amen. From this angle, right? Isaiah 54, right, Zemira? Amen. Isaiah 54. Amen. Isaiah 54. When you have the word, say, I have the word. Amen. Let's read. Amen. And if I drop out, continue to read the word of the Lord. Sing, O barren that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Continue.
Enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. For the Lord has called you like a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, like a youthful wife when you were refused, says your God. For a mere moment I have forsaken you, but with great mercies I will gather you. With a little wrath I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have mercy on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you.
This is the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is blessed. Father, thank you for this word that you've spoken in our heart to minister. As we, men, God, are speaking about the four dimensions of prayer, speak today, Lord. Speak loudly, speak clearly, Lord. Speak concisely to where it is that we are. Thank you, Father, that you have, amen, you have reserved for us revelations that have not been seen or heard. You are showing to us things that have been hidden, amen, in ages past, times past. You're opening up the book, and God, and you're saying this day the scriptures are fulfilled in your eyes. So Lord, now let us look attentively to your holy writ. Let us see what it is that you're saying. Let us now discern what you are speaking to us and through us and for us. You sent your word and it healed us. You sent your word and it prospered us. You sent your word and you made the crooked edges straight and the rough patches smooth. Lord, send your word to this house today, Lord, and let us have ears to hear, a heart to receive what you will say to us through Isaiah 54. Well, God, thank you, Father, that we're ready to receive because we're wide receivers. God, thank you that there are no distractions, Father. Thank you, Father. Nothing now will take our attention away, Lord. We were here. You brought us here. You got us here. And now you want to say something to us that will be like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. And your servant not only will hear, but your servant will obey. Speak to us today, Lord. And Lord, when you said what you want to say, God, we're already in our seat when you're finished. Lord, now, Lord, let the word profit us. Don't let it return void. Let it profit us. As your gifts profit us, so your word profits us. Let it profit us abundantly. Let it profit us abundantly today. And when the trials and the tests of next week come, God, we'll hold tight to your word, Lord. When the enemy comes trying to steal out and dig up the word that you sow, God, we'll keep, amen, the word planted in our hearts, Lord. Send this word and it'll prosper us. And next week, God, we'll still be living because the word, man, that was spoken to us today will still be going. We'll still be moving because the word that was spoken today. Do these signs, Father, and we'll give your name glory. We'll give your name praise. And all God's people said, amen and amen. For a few moments, I want to talk from a theme, don't forget to sing. Do me a favor, catch somebody by the hand and say, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't forget to sing. And I know some of you are asking, what does this have to do with prayer? Amen. But stay with me. Give me a few moments, and I promise you I'll show you the correlation. I'll show you how it's applicable. I'll show you how it has to do everything to do with prayer. So do me a favor. Tell your neighbor one more time. Say, neighbor, oh neighbor, don't forget to sing. Won't you take a couple minutes and go ahead and sing? No, I'm not going to put y'all on the spot. Don't forget to sing. I've been talking about the four dimensions of prayer, and I'm probably halfway finished with the message that God has given me to you in this season about the four dimensions of prayer. We dealt with being surrendered, living a surrendered life. Last week, we dealt with having one desire and seeking after that desire. Absolutely, we're trimming down our prayer list. Prayer list is not as long as it has been. We're becoming more focused. We're becoming more single-mindedness. And we're starting now to pray fervently about that one thing I most desire. Let me just see your hands. And you're not indicted if you don't put your hand up here. But how many are sort of kind of honing in on what that one desire really is? Let me see where y'all are so I know how to keep praying. All right. All right. You don't forget what we gave God instruction last week. For the next 30 days, we're going to be praying, amen, for that one desire. And probably by this time next year, 12 months from now, we're going to see that thing come into manifestation. If you believe that, do me a favor, put your hands together. Oh, God, I thank God for a group of people that is with me. Good God Almighty. All right. So this morning, amen, I'm sort of kind of halfway in. And this message was not part of it until I went through my last 2 weeks. And God said, don't forget that I taught you a long time ago that prayer and praise is one seamless garment. Somebody said to me, prayer and praise, one seamless garment. It does not do us well to just keep praying and don't never praise. You didn't hear what I said, because if we're not careful, all we'll do is pray and ask and pray and ask and pray and ask. But every now and then, we got to think about what we prayed about 3 years ago that he already did. Do I have anybody in the room that can think about some stuff that you prayed about that God already opened the door, God already closed the door, that God already lifted up the burden? Why don't we take 30 seconds and thank him for what he already did? Y'all don't push me like that today. He made a way out of no way. He dried up my tears. He lifted up my burdened heart. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that is done. So prayer and praise is a seamless garment that we cannot go too far in our praying that we don't stop a moment and just sing unto the Lord a new song. I'm singing this because you've done it. And we have those forefathers and those patriarchs and matriarchs that have gone before us, that they gave us an example. When Miriam and the children of Israel came out of Exodus, Miriam grabbed the tambourine and she began to sing her song. Ask your neighbor, say, neighbor, you got a tambourine? I know there's a tambourine somewhere on this side of the church. Every now and then you need to borrow somebody's tambourine and thank God for what he's already did. Yeah, you can go ahead and beat it right there. Every now and then you need to grab somebody's tambourine and say, this is to you, Lord. There you go. Prayer and praise is one seamless garment. We're now coming to understand why we as Zion take a knee. Thank God for the social issues that are going on, and people are taking a knee because of social causes and injustices and maybe police brutality and maybe racism, and they're taking a knee for all of that, but that ain't what I'm taking a knee for. When I take my knee, it's because my God answers by fire. Oh God, you didn't hear me. We're now understanding that when I bow my knee, you better watch how you stand around me. We understand not only why we take a knee, amen, because our God answers by fire, but he also, while we're taking a knee, he makes us victorious and he makes us able to complete every assignment. The only way you went back to work is because you prayed. The only way you stuck with them is because you prayed one more time. Prayer empowers us to stick with the assignment. Many of us tried to quit a long time ago, but prayer brought us right back in. So we understand why we take a knee. We understand that we're declaring, Lord, help us, because we really don't know how to pray. Have anybody ever discovered that you went down to pray and then didn't really know what to say? But the Spirit helped us. Romans 8, 26. We didn't know what to pray, and I'm just catching you up. All I'm doing is rehearsing, amen, the halfway points of things that I've said, all right? We didn't know how to pray, but the Spirit helped us. Anybody ever had situations that you didn't know how to really, honestly, truthfully pray for? And the Spirit nudged you, pray for that, and the Spirit nudged you, called that out, and the Spirit nudged you, now bind up that. We understand why we take a knee. We understand that we really don't know how to pray. We understand that even before we start the praying, we need to find out, is there anything we need to forgive? We're not just taking a knee. Before we take a good knee, we're finding out, is there anything in my heart that I need to let go? Not letting go and being unforgiving make our prayers limited and causes it to miss the target. They ain't worth that. I don't care what they did. I don't care what they said. I don't care how bad it hurt. When it comes down to it, I want him to hear my prayers, so I got to forgive them of their sins. Somebody go ahead and practice real quickly. Say, I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. I forgive them. Oh, God, I know I'm on target right there. Come on, go. Somebody say real loud, I forgive them. I forgive them. And sometimes you got to go all the way back to your childhood. And you got to let that go. I got specific prayers in this season. I got some targets that need to be hit. And I can't let no issue that happened at 5 hold me up at 55. I'm trying to go to speed limit now. Y'all missed it. Come on, tell your neighbor, let that go. Let that go. Let that go. We understand, and I'm just catching you up, that there's some things that we must forgive. For if we forgive men of their trespasses, our Heavenly Father will forgive us of ours. So that literally means the inference there is, if we are not forgiving, there's some things that God has not forgiven us. In fact, he's now put us in a sinner category, and he hears not the prayers of sinners. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, but not forgiving is serious business. Serious business. Serious business. But I want Father God to hear my prayer, so I forgive men. And I just, all I do is follow the pattern of Jesus. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. All I do is follow the path of Jesus. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And I need to say this, because we start debating, well, can you really forgive them of that? Forgiveness, I don't care on what level it is a choice. I'm not getting that much good reception right there. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, forgiveness is a choice. And here's our response normally is, but you don't know how they hurt me. Well, you ain't got no idea how they hurt me either. Sometimes we act like we're the only ones been hurt like that. If we forgave, it's because we chose to forgive. And I don't want to be placed in the category that he's not hearing my prayer, because I will not forgive. So there's a whole bunch of stuff that I just choose to let go. Somewhere, I'm trying to get you liberated this morning. Come on, somebody realize, say, there's a whole bunch of stuff that I just choose to let go. And I don't know why the Holy Spirit going to have me to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and say it, especially among family members. I ain't looking at none of y'all, so y'all don't think I'm talking about y'all. I know what the Holy Ghost just cued me in on, especially my family member. There is an eternal destiny that we've been assigned to get our family to, and things happen to keep us from that assignment. I remember when I went through the season that I really didn't want to be bothered with my family because what had been done. And now God has brought me full circle that I'm in the midst of my family being exalted as one of the patriarchs that should be followed. So there's a whole bunch of family members that I even looked at yesterday that I got to forgive what they did. Because now their salvation is dependent on me. You didn't hear what I said. Now their salvation is on me. So if I hold stuff they did 20 years ago, somebody might not be saved. And I want all the whole house saved. Okay, y'all ain't saying nothing, so I know that's resonating with you, even though you ain't saying nothing. Somebody say it me loudly one more time. Say, some stuff I just choose to let go. I'm trying to get you lighter than how you came in here, because I feel some stuff right there. Some stuff that you said, no. I don't know if I'm going to agree with you right there, Pastor. You were doing good till you got there. Some stuff I choose to just let go. I just choose to let it go. Why don't you let this be the day that you forgive uncle and you forgive auntie and you forgive mama for not being there and you forgive daddy for being a deadbeat dad? Why don't you let all that stuff go so God can make all things new? High five somebody, say, let all that stuff go. Why don't you let mama go what she didn't do and what she didn't have? Probably she did the best that she can, and you're going to look at it differently when you become a mother. Why don't you let your deadbeat daddy go and start calling him, that's my blood relative, and start saying, in the name of Jesus, heal him and deliver my soul. You get free, and you be a little bit lighter, and just maybe Father would be hearing your prayers. Come on, take an exercise. Say, I choose to let it go. Because y'all ain't there yet. Say, I choose to let it go. I had an ought against my father for a long time, and Pastor Kim really helped me with it. And I got the revelation one day, and it was about sports and him not being there the way I wanted him to be. He never took me to account. And I'm not trying to indict my father. I have a great father. But we can pick the little thing. My father has never let me be hungry. My father has never, we've always had money in our house. My father has always drove us around in good automobiles. My father has always provided for us. My father and my mother, one time, both of them had 2 or 3 jobs so we could eat while pastoring 2 churches, one in North Carolina, one in D.C. So it ain't nothing bad, my father. So when I bring something to highlight, I'm not trying to make him look bad. I'm just trying to give you in light of my wrong. And I had this indictment because he never saw me play basketball. In an organized setting. Now I forgot that he played on the street football with us. But all I saw was he didn't come to my basketball game. He didn't send me no camp, so I didn't make it. Now through all of that, I still had an opportunity to try out for the Miami Heat. For those of you that don't know, grace can make a way when your father is doing the best that he can. My father, and my father, see this, so we talked about this. I ain't worried about what y'all saying right there. My father was raised in an environment that sports and men wearing short was not kosher. That was unholy. We didn't have a TV to way down the road. My father was raised in strict Pentecostal. So sports, when I was a boy, that's why sometimes I look at y'all like, when you're taking your kids somewhere Sunday morning on church. Because I got some of that in me and I'm trying to get delivered in the right way. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. So my father, one day I got the revelation. God said this to me. My father did the best that he could in his understanding of how to raise a child in my era. That's where grace steps in. Some of us are holding folks under indictment and they're doing the best that they can. That's why the scripture says when mother and father forsake in the Lord. Okay, I hear you, Holy Spirit. There is nothing that your mother, father did or didn't do that can stop your divine destiny. Oh God. You didn't hear what I said. There is nothing your mother, father did or didn't do that can stop your divine destiny. If it could, then he ain't God. And he said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you to give you an expected end. So when things happen, this is all I'm trying to say. I did all that to say, when all of that happens, choose to forgive because God's got you. Can you hear me now? So why don't you go ahead and choose to forgive? Whether it was mother, father, job, situation, just choose to forgive. It'll stand on the line while you're praying when you won't forgive. Lord, helps us because we don't know how to pray. Before we begin to pray, we choose to forgive. In this season of praying, we understand how to move past interruptions and interceptions. That's good. In this season, we've got to learn how to move past interruptions and intercessions, because once you begin to pray and now you have forgiven, one of the things that will happen to discourage you from praying is, seems like my line's been interrupted. I was talking to one of my close cousins, Vic. That's my dude. That's my get down dude in this season. And we was talking on the phone, and I'm talking about after every two or three sentences, one of our phone would just click off and die. And this happened for about 10 minutes. Lawrence, what you doing? Vic, what? You don't want to talk to me today? Just tell me you don't want to talk to me. So the phone was clicking off. I'm talking about it did for 10 minutes. I said, you go outside. I'm going outside. Let's figure out what in the world is going on. And then finally when we got outside, it stayed on the line. Every now and then, that's how it is in prayer. And you got to learn to keep praying when it feels like there's interruption. You got to learn to keep praying when it seems like something's interfering with what I'm trying to get to the Father and the Father's trying to get me. Interruptions and interceptions will happen. Y'all remember the example that I did with the little boys, Elijah and Isaiah tried to jack up what I was trying to do that day, and we were throwing the football and there was an interceptor. Okay, you don't understand my football language, so let me go to Daniel language. You might understand that. And the Bible says an angel appeared to Daniel and said, from the first day that thou have prayed, thou have heard thee, but a prince of Persia withstood me. Every now and then you have something withstanding your prayers. And it seems like you can't get through. And you're saying, God, can you hear me now? God, can you hear me now? And you got to learn how to navigate through that. I'm going to tell you how to navigate through that. Keep praying. Keep asking. Come on, do me a favor. Tell somebody, keep praying. Come on, tell them, keep asking. We have to learn how to navigate. Because if we learn to navigate, as it happened in Daniel chapter number 10, we'll come to the next lesson that I taught about, that we'll perceive that the answer is at the door. The enemy loves us to stop just prior to us realizing that the answer is at the door. When we get real close, that's when the battle probably gets real worse. When the answer is in your proximity, then here comes all hell fighting against you. But tell somebody, I just got to open the door, because the answer's at the door. Oh God, the answer's at the door. Now, when you answer the door, don't answer in an emotional state. Just calm yourself down and tell him thank you. Don't keep praying and never go answer the door. That means you really didn't believe of what you was praying for. And in the text that I taught that Sunday, it was not the outsiders or the congregants that were praying and didn't believe in. It was the disciples. Your phylacteries, your titles, does not mean you praying and believing. Because the disciples were told Peter's at the door, and the disciple says, that cannot be Peter. You probably seeing a ghost. Listen up when your little child say, Mama, God gonna do it. When somebody at work tells you, I don't know why, it just seems like God's getting ready to do something for you, then you believe it. When a prophet declares unto you that your answer's at the door, you might as well jump up and spin wildly and say, thank you, Jesus. Don't say, I don't know if that's really Peter. It was those that was of faith that had the ability to get up and go look at the door to see if it was Peter. Sometimes life can beat so much out of you that you can't muster up the strength to go look at the door and see if this is my answer. Do me a favor, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't let life beat you up like that. At least go answer the door. When we declare that the answer is at the door, what we're saying is that the heavens above us are open. God is ready to shower us with former and latter rains if we only believe. Therefore, we now live the surrendered life. Somebody say, my life is not my own. To him I belong. I give myself away. We now willingly live the surrendered life. If you want to move to the dimension of praying powerfully, live surrendered. Because you'll find yourself praying for what he wants you to pray for. And because you pray for what he wants you to pray for, you'll start seeing answers manifest more rapidly. Are y'all hearing me? Now, because our life is not our own, now that we're surrendered, now we're saying not our will, but your will be done. Now that we're praying that way, we're praying what he wants, we're going to see quicker manifestations. Lord, help. Here comes help. Lord, save that girl. Here comes salvation. Lord, deliver my mother. Here comes deliverance. And we're not asking for candy. We're not asking for houses. We're not asking for our own selves. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Peter picks it up then and says, for as much then as Christ have suffered for us in the flesh, let us arm ourselves likewise with the same mind, that he that have suffered in the flesh have ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. I want you to mark that. 1 Peter 4 and 2. We shall no longer live our lives to the flesh in the lust of men, but to the will of God.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.